Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. I do want to say a special hello and to all our Rhema students. You know, we have some first-year students just started. Amen. Because I see a number of new faces. Of course, we have some our second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth-year students that are still coming back. I'm not sure if anyone went 8 years, but, you know, there's always a first for everything. But, you know, it's such an awesome thing here at this church that we have these students that come and join us, you know, and you know, part of the training at Rhema is learning how a church operates and you know, sitting under the word here at Rhema Bible Church. And for you that don't know, we've been having a student revival actually starting last Friday and then all week long, 10:30 in the morning. I guess Friday it's going to be at 10 o'clock, and you can watch those services live, or you can actually go back and watch us online. Probably the easiest way is the Rhema USA YouTube channel. I spoke this morning, so if my voice sounds a little weak, I really preached hard this morning, so, you know, so I am a little tired naturally, but praise God, it's round two right now, so this is what happens. This always usually happens because normally my parents are actually on crusade right now, and I always get scheduled to preach on the student revival on Wednesday and then preach Wednesday night. So my parents are not on crusade, but they said, well, you preach anyway. So I am. All right. I read this story today and it made me laugh. And I've read it before, but I want to read it again. It's kind of a, I don't know if it's a joke or, I'm sure it's not a true life story. Maybe it probably isn't. It's not a true story, but it says this. One day a man walked out of his house and on his way to work and saw that it had started to rain. He didn't think much of it at the time, but began to worry when he saw that it was still raining cats and dogs later that same night. I'm not sure why it rains cats and dogs. You can look that up on Google. All right. He says he lived near a river, so he started to fear a possible flood. Sure enough, the next morning, the news reports were recommending the evacuation of the entire neighborhood. A flood was coming. The man knew that God would save him, though he didn't. So he didn't leave his house. The floodwaters rose and began to enter his house. So the man moved up to the second floor. The man was sitting near his bedroom window when a family in a small fishing boat came up to his house and said, "Would you like a ride, sir? We have plenty of room." "No," the man said, "God will save me." The family paddled on and left him at his house. A short time later, the waters rose to the second floor, so the man went on top of his roof and sat down leaning against the chimney. He wasn't there long when a police boat went by and an officer shouted, "Sir, come with us. We're heading to a shelter." "No thanks," the man replied. "God will save me." So the police boat left. It wasn't long before the man's house was completely underwater. He was floating in the water, holding onto the chimney for dear life. When he heard helicopter blades, the pilot got on a loudspeaker and said, "Sir, be still. We're coming for you." But the man simply waved his arms, telling the helicopter to go away. But so it says later on, so finally the man lost his grip and drowned. When he got to heaven, the man asked God, "Why didn't you save me? Couldn't you see that I needed help?" God replied, "I sent you a warning, two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want?" You know, it's interesting because we always want God to supply the way we want him to supply. I mean, the Lord sent help, but he refused the help. You know, a lot of times that we want the Lord to provide the way we want it. And so that reminds me of Genesis chapter 22. I don't actually preach a lot from the Old Testament, but Genesis 22, verses 6 through 14 in the New King James says this. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he says, "Here I am, my son." Then he says, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he says, here I am. And he says, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So Abraham called the place what we know of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And you know, I started thinking the other day about those words, the Lord will provide. You know, the Lord's going to provide for us no matter what's going on. Now, Abraham really would have rather the Lord to provide a burnt offering and not have to bow to his son. But you know what? In the end, it all worked out. We realized it was type and shadow of Jesus Christ and all kinds of things like that. But do we really believe that we serve the same Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's going to provide? How many times have we opened up a bill and our first thought is, oh my, how am I going to pay this? What our first thought should be, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But that's not our first thought. Why is it not our first thoughts? Because, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. But we need to renew our mind and be able to think whenever we're facing things that look impossible, to think to ourselves, my God shall supply. Because if we really believe that, that should be our answer. Instead of like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? And like I said, I've been talking, you know, many times here recently because, you know, inflation doesn't seem to be going down. And if you heard the latest news, it's actually went up another 8.5% or whatever. And the stock market just crashed. So some of you that have a lot of investments, you know, they crashed today, yesterday, whatever. But you know what? My God shall supply. You know, instead of being worried about inflation, we should be excited about our God, the provider, about our Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. And every time that we face a situation where it looks like that we're going to be done in, it looks like, you know, everything's going to, you know, just who knows what, we should be thinking to ourselves, our Lord shall supply. Now, you know, I'm not a person that knows Hebrew or knows Greek or knows anything like that, but I can read, okay? How many can read? And I can use Google, all right? So somebody wrote this, and this somebody is also another minister, so I know he got it out of a book somewhere, so I just, you know, so I'm not even going to give him credit, because by reading it, I'm sure he did. It's interesting, because he went back to the word Jireh, and it says this, the word Jireh is a completely unremarkable Hebrew word in every sense. It is used over and over in the Bible and easily translated. What makes it different here, it is teamed up with the true name of God, Jehovah. The word Jireh literally means to see. So if Jehovah Jireh really means God sees, all right? And why do we translate it God will provide? Because it really means God sees. And this is interesting, and I'm sure this guy didn't say it. He probably read it somewhere, but it's okay. I'm going to say what he read because I looked it up on Google. Anyway, it says, well, think about that for a moment. God is outside of time, right? You know, he invented time. So, you know, God is not, you know, we have time and, you know, we don't know the beginning from the end like God does. So God, time doesn't exist in God's world. So interesting, God knows the past, the present, and the future completely. So to say God sees could also mean that God foresees. So God sees the future. So, you know, so far, so good, right? But here's the kicker. If God can see the future, then he knows what we need before we do. God is the God of love, and I think we can all agree on that. What love would it be if God knew we needed something but never made it available? That's not love, because God sees our needs. God provides for all our needs. So God provides for our needs before we ever have them. Jehovah Jireh is the God that sees the future and the God that knows what we need before we open the bill. Before we face the challenge, but before we were even facing it, we didn't even know the need was going to exist, and God already foresaw that need and says, I am your provider. Not I'm going to provide. He has already provided because he's foreseen the thing. So what we do, how do we, it's just like, you know what? Our God has already provided healing through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, by his stripes, we were healed. We're his past tense. And so a lot of times we're waiting for God to provide our healing when he's already provided our healing. Well, how do you get your healing? By faith. Well, how do you get your provision? By faith. It's already been provided. It's already done. We've already won the victory, the Bible says. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. We have to change our mentality. We have to change our thinking. We have to really believe that we serve Jehovah Jireh, the God that foresees the future before you ever know the need. Our God is providing, has provided, and is always providing. And it doesn't matter what we're facing, because, you know, a lot of times we think in our mind, well, our God will provide, you know, except in a pandemic, except with supply chain crisis. You know, God is not, you know, he doesn't care about our human rules. Do you think that God sits around watching CNN and Fox and all these, you know, whatever else news channels and thinks, well, let's see what I'm going to do. Do you think that God watches the Weather Channel every day to find out what he's going to do with the weather? Do you realize that those are things that we do? I mean, because ultimately, the weathermen, I don't care how good the predictive maps are, they're not always right. In fact, usually I have found out a really cool thing here in Oklahoma. I don't know how it works in other states, but in Oklahoma, if they say that it's going to snow, it probably won't. Or it will just be a dusting of snow. When they say, well, we probably won't get any, that's when we get the bunch of snow. It's just kind of crazy. You know, I'm like, you know, their weather forecasts. I mean, there has been times here in Oklahoma where they predicted snow and ice and schools closed and it didn't snow and ice. Or if it did, it was such a dusting that it was like, you closed school for that? You know, the bad thing about this virtual school thing is they don't close school, they go virtual. So these students still have to go to school. So, well, you know, it's terrible being you. I didn't have virtual school. I was able to get out of school. You know, I love those snow days. And snow days were awesome in January and February. But in May, they weren't very awesome. We never had to go to school extra days because we got days for snow days or whatever. I'm like, why did we do that? You know, so anyway, but our God has already provided. You know, when I think about a God that provides, I think about the manna from heaven. Anyone remember the manna from heaven? You know, and a lot of us, like I said, we're in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't read about it. But I actually was talking to somebody yesterday, and this is doom and gloom type stuff. They actually told me, it says, you know what, Craig, I'm actually thinking about becoming a vegetarian. I'm like, why? I like meat. I think you like meat. But they said, well, you know, because all the things are happening right now and stuff. I mean, there might be a time we're not able to get meat. And I'm like, not in my house. And I literally told this person, I said, you know what? If God has to rain down a cow from heaven, he will. You know, because bread's not good enough, I actually want a cow, or I want meat. Or you know what? He can just lay down, rain down, just some fillets and some you know, whatever. I'll take some pork chops too. You know, I don't care. I don't care what how he wants to bring. I'd just rather not slaughter it. So just have it all slaughtered already. Well, that can't happen. Well, if he can rain down a cow, why can't he rain down meat that's already been slaughtered? I don't know, but it is interesting because when we go back and read here, about the manna from heaven, it's interesting because God just didn't provide just manna, because it says right here in Exodus chapter 16, the New King James Version, Exodus 16, starting with verse 12, it says this. This is Moses talking. It says, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them. God's telling Moses this. Speak to them saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, the provider. The provider doesn't say that there. But interesting part about it is, it says at twilight you're going to eat meat. See, many people miss that. When they think of manna from heaven, they miss the part where these people, because understand, they're in the middle of a desert. A desert is worse than a supply chain crisis, all right? When you're in the middle of a desert, there's not a lot to eat. And they were complaining. They're like, you know what? At least back in Egypt, that we had meat and we had bread. And so the Lord told them, he says, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Here it is. So verse number 13, it says, so it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. So they had quail. See, you know, it wasn't, you know, we talk about manna from heaven, but they also, God, he didn't just provide bread, he provided meat as well. See, that's my kind of God. All right, now, I don't know. I mean, I guess he provided quail every night, but, you know, who knows? I mean, he might have rained out a couple cows and, said, hey, you're going to have steak tonight. You know, who knows? But, because Moses didn't say that God's going to provide quail. He said, nor meat. Interesting part about it, I don't know, probably they had quail every night. But you know what's better than eating nothing? I tell you what, if those people are naked and afraid, if they had quail rain down at nighttime and bread, they'd be pretty happy. They wouldn't be afraid, I guess, I don't know. Or five or show, you know, I mean, that would be pretty awesome. Anyway, so it says that quails came up in the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around. It's not dew, D-E-W, by the way, not dog dew. Okay, I'm talking about dew. Just want to make sure for some people that want to make sure translate it right. The dew lay all around the camp, and when the layers of the dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to him, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's needs. One omer, of course everyone knows what an omer is. One omer for each. I'm joking. All right. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. So you know what? They had all the bread that they needed. I mean, nobody went hungry. In the middle of a desert, God provided meat and bread. So you know what Malachi says, I am the Lord and I change not. You know, the New Testament says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? If everything, you know, goes where we can't buy or sell anything, that my God, the God that provides, Jehovah Jireh, will provide me meat and bread, because he still has the manna left up there.
You know what? If I have to eat quail, I'll eat quail. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, my God shall provide. That's my mentality. I don't know how many times that I've spoken out over the last few weeks. My mentality is my God will provide, because I've heard a lot of people saying all these doom and gloom stuff, like, you know, we're going to not be able to buy or sell or this or that or whatever. Of course, that's what the Bible talks about, that at some point in time. But my God still will supply. But I serve the same God that you have. You know, our God will supply. So going in the, like I said, this was the middle of the desert. This is not, you know, going to Walmart not finding meat. I mean, you know, this, they had it a whole lot worse off than you do. All right? I mean, do you realize how easy we have it? I mean, God just has to provide a little bit of money for us to go to the store to go buy whatever we need. You know, it's pretty easy, but, you know, then I know supply chain crisis helps. But you know what? Even when there's not what you really want, there's the unnamed brand stuff of things that you didn't want. You know, you're not going to go hungry. I guarantee you, any grocery store, you're going to find food of some sort. Maybe it's not what you wanted, but you'll find food. You'll survive. You know, but our God also provided in the New Testament. Many of you probably remember Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place.'" So once again, it's a deserted place. There were no Walmarts anywhere, no McDonald's, not even a Burger King. Quick Trips were not around. All right, deserted place, and the hour is already late. So his disciples says, "Send the multitude away so they may go into the village and buy themselves some food." So he's like, you know, Jesus, the closest Walmart's quite a ways away, or McDonald's or whatever, so you better send them away so they can get some food before it closes. And don't be during COVID, because they close early during COVID, so whatever. It's interesting what Jesus says. So, but Jesus, verse 16, said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." He told his disciples, "You give them something." I'm sure they're like, "What? Do what? There's a lot of people out there. How are we going to feed these people?" I mean, you know, that seems impossible. Well, their answer was, and they said to him, "We only have 5 loaves and two fishes. Now, I wondered, 5,000 people plus women and children, and the only thing that they had were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? I mean, did not somebody think about, hey, we're going to the desert here. There won't be McDonald's around. I mean, you know, most of you, if you know you're going on a camping trip, probably bring food. If you know you're going to a ball game, you probably bring food. If you're going down the street, you probably bring food. I mean, with 5,000 people here. You know, probably if we were just to go to the people around, you know, most of the guys wouldn't have food, but there's some of you ladies who probably have some kind of food in your purses somewhere. Probably some candy, at least. We could all eat some candy. You know, they only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and, you know, so he's like, verse 19, this is red letters, "Bring them here to me." His disciples are probably thinking, what are we going to do with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? And these weren't the mega loaves of bread. Have you seen the small loaves and you've seen the big loaves? You know, these were not the big loaves, all right? These were just the small loaves of bread. I'm assuming, I don't know. Who cares if they're the big loaves? I mean, there's a lot of people there. 5,000 men, plus women and children. That's more people than can sit in this auditorium with every seat filled and every seat filled on the stage. If we bring out seats for the stage, you know, in every side section over there, because I know, because we put like 4,700 seats one time in here. So now if you go, if you take that away and we have the choir loft back there, we can see, you know, we've had like 6,300 people in here at one point in time. But I mean, that's a lot of people to only have, I mean, we're talking about two fish. Some of you here probably have eaten two fish yourself and still was hungry. All right. But Jesus said, hey, bring me what you got. Bring me what you got. He says, then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and his disciples gave to the multitude. And so they ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. See, we said, he said the 5,000, but he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. So who knows how many people? There could be 7,000 people there. There could have been 8,000 people there. I don't know, but I'm telling you that in real life, it would be impossible to feed all those people and take up 12 basketfuls of extra. But we serve the God that is more than enough. We serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Because you know what? The Lord knew that there were going to be 5,000 plus people in the middle of a desert with no McDonald's or a Walmart or anywhere nearby. And all they were going to have was five loaves of bread and two fishes. And they were all going to be able to eat. Because you know what? They brought Jesus what he had, what they had, and he blessed it. You know what? Maybe we should bring the Lord what we have and say, you know, and just bless it. You know, because we serve Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can feed the 5,000, you know, back then and, you know, whatever AD it was, you know, because theologians think have all kinds of different times, he can feed 5,000 people here today. I mean, think about it. If we filled the whole church and we brought out five loaves and two fishes, we could feed the whole church and take up extra. I mean, you know, there were probably people who took a lot because some people, whenever you have these buffet things, I mean, people, there are some people that like to gorge and stuff like that. Then you have the people that you know, don't want to eat a whole lot, don't want to hurt their figure or that kind of things. The point is our God still provides. But we need to have that mentality that our God provides even before we have the need. Now that leads me to the scripture that I really wanted to get to, Philippians 4:19. Paul talking, and he says, I'll read from New King James. It says this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So my God has already provided, according to being Jehovah Jireh, he's already provided all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that should be our mentality. Every time that we open up a bill and we see a need, we should say, you know what? My God is providing. But you know what? The Bible says need. Now we think of a need as a physical need, you know, but all the needs that I read, they were physical needs, you know, I mean, but they were food. All right. Now, when we think of a need, we think of money. But our God's going to supply whatever we need, whether it's money, whether it's food, whether it's happiness, whether it's not loneliness or whatever. I mean, whatever it is, he is providing and he has provided. Our God provides. We serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides every time. Every time. So let me get to the statement where this whole sermon came from. Last night we were at Synergy. And one of our worship leaders, Wesley Bohr, who has a girlfriend, so don't be, you know, found that out today. They're in student revival. He made this statement, and this, my whole sermon came from his statement he made. He says, God's provision is bigger than my problem. God's provision is bigger than my problem. But see, my God has already provided for you before you ever had a problem. The problem is you start looking at your problem instead of looking at Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And so every time you see a problem, instead of seeing the problem, you should start seeing the provider, the greater one that's on the inside of you. I mean, God is providing. He has provided because he's the Lord who sees the future and he foresees your need. So you know what? Here's the deal. When you have a need, all you have to do is say, Lord, this is what I need you to provide. So I'm just believing right now you're going to provide this for me. So what's the Lord going to say? Okay. So if the Lord says okay, then why are you worried about it? Why can you not sleep tonight? Why are you worried about something that God's already provided? Well, because it looks impossible. I just talked about feeding the 5,000 plus. I just talked about bringing down meat and bread from heaven. I mean, I'm scratching my head. Like, what do you not get? What do you not get? What you don't get is you say, well, because you're thinking of things in your own mind. How does your mind operate? Your mind says that's impossible. God says the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Drop the mic. See, there's nothing else. If you can believe, all things are possible. See, those are statements that we have to know. You said, well, I can quote those things. Well, obviously, I just did. I just quoted them. They're all scriptures, all right? I quoted those scriptures. But if you can quote those scriptures, why don't you believe those scriptures? Because whenever you're saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Then you must not know the scripture. You must not really know Jehovah Jireh. You must not really know that your God provides. You must not really know that he has already provided before you even face the problem, because you're looking at your problem. You're looking at your circumstance. You're looking at how bad it is. And it might be bad. Some people get themselves in a mess. But even if you put yourself in a mess, your God is going to take care of your mess. And then you're going to have a testimony, you know. And maybe, you know, you're thinking, you know, there's been times where God has tried to provide for us. Like, you know, like he's sending the boats and he's sending the helicopter and you're like, yeah, whatever, you know. You know, sometimes he's giving you a way out and you're just drowning. Because, well, you didn't want it that way. This is the way you want it. But you know what? Your God shall supply all your need. And you got to think about that. You got to remember that. You got to remember that before you even have the need. God knew you were going to have the need, and he's already provided. So making sure you really know who Jehovah Jireh is, the Lord that provides. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord that foresees. You are the Lord that provides each and every time. And every time we face a situation that seems impossible, it seems like there is no way to be able to get through it, we thank you that you provide for us every time. And if we're in the middle of a desert, you're going to bring meat and bread. And if we're at a place that there is no provisions, you're going to provide food for us. And Father God, we thank you that you're continuing to meet our need every single time. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. We serve a good God. We serve the God that is more than enough. And that's interesting. You know, we say more than enough, you know, they took up 12 basketfuls. 12 basketfuls. That was the God that's more than enough, and that's the same God that we serve. Amen. I mean, let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, whether it be infilling of the Holy Spirit, or you just need prayer, we have some ladies over here and some gentlemen over there. If you happen to be a gentleman, you go see the gentleman. If you happen to be a lady, you go see the lady. All right, the ladies, not lady, ladies. Like I always say, if you don't know who to see, see one of the ushers and they'll direct you the way to see. All right. God bless you guys. I just want you to remember, next time you open that bill and you're thinking, man, my bank account and those bills do not match up, I want you to remember Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't forget, be back here on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. And also, like I said, if you want to watch the student revival, 10:30 tomorrow, and then it's 10 a.m. On Friday. And so, and then you can go back and watch some stuff on our social media from on this week. It's been awesome. Had awesome times, and you know, and I'm so excited about our students. I mean, we've been praying them in, you know, and God has a plan and a purpose, and it's so awesome. Amen. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day. We'll see you later.